Reading from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 35. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purposes for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace, calling out to each other, 'We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Ah, the microphone is working. That's excellent. One of the children asked me just before the service whether I was doing Arthur's job this morning. So I suppose I am. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have inspired the writing of the Gospel of Luke. And we pray that now, as we delve into this particular passage, that you might help us to understand it and to apply it to our lives. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, a new year. Did you realise this is the first Sunday of a new year? Just give a little nod. Yes, right. Very good. A new beginning. It's a great opportunity, isn't it, to put all our bad habits away. I don't have any, but to put all the bad habits away and all the miserable relationships that you've endured and start afresh. It's a new beginning. We have a granddaughter who is starting at university this year. It's a new beginning. We have a grandson who has finished university and is looking for work. So if anybody's got a job, just let me know. Another new beginning. Cinta is starting, having studied at Moore College for 3 years. She has a new beginning as well. And I guess there are new babies coming along. Just put up your hand if anybody expecting. Thank you very much. I see another one. Yeah, very good. Maybe you're moving to a new house. Maybe You know somebody who's moving to a new job, of people my vintage, new health challenges, there are plenty of them. So there's new beginnings. Well, our new year as a church begins with Jesus being asked a challenging question in the continuing account of his life and ministry told to us by Dr. Luke. And so our series continues. Last Sunday, if you were here, you'll remember, and if you weren't here, well, somebody, just ask somebody who was here, and they'll tell you Arthur's sermon. We heard about two healings, or one healing and one raising from the dead. The healing of a servant of the Roman centurion at the beginning of chapter 7, and then the raising of a young man from the dead. Setting the scene, we find that that has just happened. And both of these miracles have been widely reported by people who were, as it says, filled with awe. Filled with awe. They praised God and they said, "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people." Now, the disciples of John the Baptist reported these happenings to John, who was held in prison. And you might remember a little later on, he lost his life when his head was removed from his body. So here he was in prison, and in response to this question, John sent two of his disciples to Jesus with a question. "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Here was John the Baptist, who had been preparing the way for Jesus, but he may have begun to have some doubts. Here he was in prison, and you'd think by now, if Jesus was starting something new, he might have been released from prison. But if Jesus was the Messiah, surely things would be happening by now. And in fact, John had said that the Messiah would act in judgment. But Jesus wasn't acting in judgment. Jesus was doing acts of mercy, healing people, raising people from the dead. And so John's two disciples put John's question to Jesus. And then Jesus responds to John's question in verse 21. "At this very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind." Jesus gave evidence to John that reflected the predicted ministry of the Messiah, notably by the prophet Isaiah. In verses 22 and 23 of chapter 7, we read, "So he replied to the messengers, 'Go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor.'" And there's other parts of Isaiah that say similar things. Now I'm going to read a little portion from Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, where Isaiah writes, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." These will be an indication that the Messiah has arrived. Well, Jesus didn't want discouragement and doubt to ensnare John. So he adds in verse 23, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Maybe he suspected that John was at risk of falling away. Well, then John's disciples return to John and report in verse 24, after John's messengers left, then Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. And from verse 24 down to verse 35, Jesus does speak about John. He says that John was more than a prophet. He was the unique prophet sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. And Jesus makes it clear that Malachi, who wrote 400 years before John and Jesus, was actually fulfilled by John. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, Malachi writes, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Isn't that amazing? That those words, well, it's not really amazing, God made sure that it was there, but 400 years, we don't even have 400 years of white settlement in Australia. It's hard to imagine what 400 years is like. Apart from some of you oldies down there, you would know what that's like. But here we are 400 years before these words were written, and they were fulfilled by John the Baptist. Jesus said so, so it must be true. And then in verse 28, Jesus says, up to that time, John was really the greatest human to have ever lived. John, however, belonged to the age of the old covenant, which was preparing for the new, preparing for the coming of Christ. And the least new covenant saint had a higher privilege in Christ than John did. So John belonged to the age of promise. Those who trust in Jesus, and that includes those of us who trust in Jesus, belong to the kingdom of God, and therefore belong to the age of fulfillment, and therefore are greater than John the Baptist. Now, you don't have to get a swollen head about that, but that's what Jesus said. Well, then Luke makes a comment about the popular response to John's ministry. In verses 29 and 30, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. All the people who had been baptized by John were on side with Jesus. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, who had not been baptized by John, they rejected God's purpose for themselves by rejecting Jesus. Well, Luke goes on in verses 31 to 35 to say more about John. Jesus compared the generation represented before him with children who were playing. Some wouldn't join them. Some wouldn't join in the game, whether they played a joyful game or whether they played a mournful one. I can't think of a mournful game, but there must have been mournful games. The people who rejected John and Jesus did so for opposite reasons. They rejected John, who came neither eating bread nor drinking wine and following very strict rules, saying, "He has a demon." This is the religious leaders. And because Jesus accepted hospitality from and spent some time with the tax collectors and sinners, they said that he was a glutton and a drunkard. Isn't that extraordinary? Our Lord Jesus being described as a glutton and a drunkard. And then Jesus concludes his comments relating to John with a very pithy saying, "But wisdom is proved right by all her children." Wisdom is proved right by all her children. Those who are truly wise will receive the ministries of both John and Jesus, for they are wisdom's children. They're not false prophets. Indeed, they are central players in the new development of God's purpose for his people as he fulfilled his ancient promises. Well, it's the same today. Many in our generation, younger people and older people, who claim to be wise, either reject Jesus or refuse to consider the truths of the Christian faith. They're very unwise. They may be sophisticated. They may be well educated. They may be successful, wealthy, admired by others, leaders in their chosen sphere. They may be self-made people, independent and confident. They may have some great qualities, but wisdom is not one of them. They're not wise, for they have closed their minds to God's truth, or rejected it, or simply not accepted it, and will be judged by him for their attitude towards Jesus. Now, we may know some people like this, either personally. Now, stop pointing, please. Don't be pointing at people. There may be some people who you know who are unwise because of this, because they reject Jesus. We may be related to some people like this. I have people in my extended family who you would think are wise people, but they're not wise because they have not accepted Jesus as their saviour. They've not accepted what God has said about Jesus. You may have some friends like this. I have a group of friends in the Newcastle area who I spend a bit of time with, and none of them, to my knowledge, claim to be Christians. They're all about my age, some a little bit older. But they're not wise. Why are they not wise? They've got lots of years, lots of experience, but they have either rejected or not accepted Jesus as their saviour. So what can we do for them? How can we help people who are lacking true wisdom that is found in Jesus? Well, obviously we can pray for them. We can seek opportunities to speak to them about the Lord Jesus. We can give them a suitable book to read. We can invite them to join a group exploring the Christian faith. And from time to time, our church puts on one of those courses. We could write them a letter. We could even invite them to church. Well, wrapping up here, John the Baptist had an important role in preparing the way for Jesus. He fulfilled the prophecy, the 400-year-old prophecy of Malachi, and he served God faithfully. By his ministry, Jesus demonstrated that he was the one who had been promised, fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament, notably those of Isaiah. And the people of his day were divided about him and his call for them to repent and to trust in him as their Saviour and Lord. And the people of our day are still divided about Jesus. Some who think that they are wise do not pass the wisdom test. Others who accept Jesus and turn back to God are the truly wise people. Well, if we know God today through Jesus Christ, we have a job to do. In 2026, may the Lord help us to do it well as individuals and as the church that meets here week by week. May God help us to help others to find true wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have inspired these words to be written, and we pray that you might help us to think back over this particular part of the reading, this particular part of Luke chapter 7, and that you would impact our lives, help us to be certain that we are truly wise, and help those who think that they're wise but are not to find true wisdom in you alone. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.